This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news.
There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Michael the Monster. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Kashenka on this Wednesday, October 10th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Hurricane Michael, now a Category 4 storm in the Gulf of Mexico, is expected to make landfall today. We'll take you to the Gulf Coast for a live update.
Nikki Haley, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. and considered a rising Republican star, has announced she'll step down at the end of the year.
The Trump administration is set to publish rules limiting the number of immigrants who can receive green cards based on their use of government benefits.
And the special interest groups trying to get President Trump's attention on TV.
It's no secret that the president is an avid watcher of Fox News in particular. So lobbyists have found that an effective way to get a message in front of the president is to advertise during his favorite TV programs.
Wall Street Journal reporter Julie Bykowitz on who's buying ads targeting the president. She's here in about 10 minutes. Hurricane Michael has blossomed into a Category 4 storm over the Gulf of Mexico as it prepares to make landfall today on the Florida Panhandle or Big Bend area. Fierce winds and life-threatening flooding is expected. The National Hurricane Center said Michael was packing maximum sustained winds of 130 miles an hour with higher gusts and could gain strength before landfall. Governor Rick Scott urged people to follow local evacuation orders.
Water will come miles inshore and could easily rise over the roofs of houses. Okay, so you're not going to survive storm surge. If you're in the middle of storm surge, you're not going to survive.
A coastal area in Florida between Mexico Beach and Keaton Beach could see a storm surge of 9 to 13 feet. There are 57,000 homes at risk for potential storm surge damage. In the state capital of Tallahassee, in Michael's projected path, many businesses were closed. Some boarded up with plywood. There was little traffic on the streets. A foot of rain could also be seen in southeast Alabama and areas of southwest and central Georgia. The U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, has announced that she's resigning the post at the end of the year. Ms. Haley, a former Republican governor of South Carolina, didn't specify her reasons for leaving. Considered a rising GOP star, she said she has no plans to run for office in 2020, when the next U.S. presidential election will be held. She would be 52 years old as a prospective candidate, though, in 2024.
It has been an honor of a lifetime. I said I am such a lucky girl to have been able to lead the state that raised me and to serve a country I love so very much.
President Trump said she mentioned 6 months ago that she planned to leave. The advance notice coincided with his decision earlier this year to name Mike Pompeo as Secretary of State, a post for which Ms. Haley had been considered a candidate. Among those who previously have expressed interest in the post at the UN are Richard Grenell, U.S. Ambassador to Germany, and Dina Powell, currently with Goldman Sachs. President Trump has found a new issue to rally voter enthusiasm ahead of next month's midterm elections, the contentious Senate confirmation process for Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. At a political rally in support of Iowa and Nebraska Republicans last night in Council Bluffs, Iowa, Mr. Trump called the Democrats' attempt to block Judge Kavanaugh from the high court a national embarrassment, a national disgrace.
We proudly swore in the newest member of the United States Supreme Court,
Judge Kavanaugh was accused of sexual assault by a woman who came forward during the confirmation battle. She said it happened when they were in high school, but did not provide evidence or corroborating witnesses. At his Iowa event, the president said a Democratic takeover of Congress could allow Democrats to impeach Judge Kavanaugh, a prospect some Democrats have raised. The party that holds the White House typically loses seats in midterm congressional elections. It's 10 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Wednesday. There are competing advertisements representing an effort to grab the attention of the world's most powerful TV viewer, President Trump. There's also a belief by Washington's influence industry that Mr. Trump can be swayed by what he sees on TV. Here's what's happening from Wall Street Journal national political reporter Julie Bykowitz. Julie, what's up?
It's no secret that the president is an avid watcher of Fox News in particular. And we know that because he is frequently tweeting in real time as he watches particularly Fox and Friends in the morning, and then also during Hannity in the evening, sometimes references Lou Dobbs from over at the Fox Business Channel. And so the general public's noticed this, and so have lobbyists in D.C. And lobbyists have found that an effective way to get a message in front of the president is to advertise during his favorite TV programs. So that's what we're seeing happen more and more.
Wow. Like, for what example? Who's airing what?
Well, we took a look at the story now because there's a big fight that's been going on over ethanol. And so groups that are favoring, you know, President Trump increasing the mix of ethanol and gasoline have been advertising lots lately during Fox News programs. And then groups that also oppose that are sort of counter-messaging to him during the same programs.
Is he known to be influenced by them?
Well, what we can see is that he does engage sometimes directly after an ad pops up on Fox. This happened when a group of U.S. steelworkers was advertising during Fox and Friends in March. You know, as their ad came up, the president started talking about the issue, suggesting that he had seen the ad. And then sort of on the other side here, if you remember to last year, billionaire Tom Steyer, who's sort of constantly in fights with the president and has started an impeachment movement, was trolling him in a way by putting up an ad during Fox and Friends, and the president noticed that and tweeted about it right away.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal national political reporter Julie Bykowitz. Her piece is called Interest Groups Compete for Trump's TV Attention. You mentioned, too, that ad revenue for these programs that Mr. Trump watches is on the rise, right?
That's right. And so not only is the president watching, but the programs themselves have really strong viewership during this administration. The viewership has risen, and so have the ad rates. And we've actually seen some lobby firms, you know, notice that not only is the president watching these shows, but people who are highly supportive of the president are also watching. And so the thinking is not only just to reach the audience of one, but perhaps, you know, out in the sort of the heartland, Trump's base watching the same ads, and maybe they will engage more on the types of issues that are being advertised about.
I thought it was interesting, too. You said that strategists also target early hours on MSNBC and CNN. How come?
Well, although the president has expressed dislike for programs on those two channels, there's no debate that at least his aides are sort of monitoring how those channels are talking about him. And so the thinking there is that people who are influential with the president may see some types of advertising and flag it to him.
Wow. That sounds, I guess, along the lines of what the guy Kevin Mack from that group Need to Impeach, how he feels. Like he just suspects that the president's watching and knows he can target him with I don't know, like a little elbow in the ribs kind of ad.
Exactly. And then also sort of interesting here, the president has been very disparaging of Saturday Night Live as a show that's not funny any longer and one that he insists he doesn't watch. But there's some evidence that he is watching. And so groups are also starting to put up ads during Saturday Night Live as well.
Thanks, Julie. It's Wall Street Journal national political reporter Julie Bykowitz. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to Hurricane Michael, swelled to an extremely dangerous Category 4 storm as it rumbles toward the Gulf Coast of Florida in what forecasters warn is an unprecedented weather event for the area. The National Hurricane Center says the storm is now packing maximum wind gusts of 130 miles per hour, could grow even more, and is expected to slam ashore today along the Florida Panhandle or Big Bend area as a life-threatening event. FEMA Associate Administrator Jeff Byard.
The time to prepare is now. Please, we want to reemphasize to heed those local warnings as they know best for our citizens and our visitors of the Florida Gulf Coast.
A monster storm surge of up to 13 feet is expected in some areas. While a number of prominent Trump cabinet officials have already left the administration, it was nonetheless surprising when U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley announced she'll be resigning by the end of the year. Haley didn't specify her reasons for leaving, only saying it was time for her to move on.
No, I'm not running for 2020. I can promise you what I'll be doing is campaigning for this one. So I look forward to supporting the president.
Haley had been a prominent advisor in shaping administration foreign policy in the first year and a half of Trump's term, although her influence has waned since Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and National Security Advisor John Bolton were appointed. A pro-government Turkish newspaper has published the names and photographs of 15 Saudi nationals who allegedly arrived in Istanbul on board two private jets the day journalist Jamal Khashoggi went missing. Turkish officials say they believe the Saudi writer and government critic was killed inside his country's consulate in Istanbul after he visited the mission to obtain a document required to marry his Turkish fiancé. Saudi Arabia has denied the allegations. Craig Kimbrell escaped a bases-loaded jam in the ninth inning, and the Red Sox held on for a 4-3 victory over the host Yankees last night to win an American League Division Series in four games. Red Sox manager Alex Cora says Boston relied on its depth.
Like I've been saying all along, it's, you know, we're a complete team, and we count on everybody to win games. And you know, the last two games, if you think about it, it was fun to watch.
The Red Sox advance to the AL Championship Series, where they will host the Astros in Game 1 on Saturday.
I was watching their locker room celebration, which today just seems pointless. There's plastic covering everything.
I know, they wear goggles.
And they wear goggles.
I know.
It's ridiculous. What's the point of spraying the champagne? Like, you want to see the reaction of it burning your eyes. That is the point. By the way, they were playing New York, New York in the locker room. Wow.
Ouch.
Those tensions between the two teams shouldn't continue. Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Capital One. Capital One is reimagining banking, offering accounts with no fees or minimums that can be opened in 5 minutes. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Capital One NA. Halloween may never again be like it was when we were young, where kids would run rampant for hours without adults, trick-or-treating ourselves into sugar oblivion. These days, it's the adults who are out running around on Halloween, at least according to the National Retail Federation. Here's how small businesses can take advantage, from Steve Strauss, small business columnist for USA Today. Steve, how do you see it?
Halloween is one of those things where a small business owner can either embrace it or run away from it. And many think, well, you know, I'm not a retail shop or whatever it is. I'm not going to embrace it, but the truth is, it's kind of like March Madness. Like, people are into it, especially adults, especially these days. So I say, let them, you know, go for it. Encourage customers to wear costumes or have a party, that kind of thing.
All right, so yeah, break that down, because if you say, even if you're not retail, where you can obviously decorate a store or windows, then what can be done?
Well, here, I'll tell you what not to do. I, as you mentioned, I'm an attorney. Don't practice anymore. I came to my senses many years ago. But back in the day, I worked for this horrible law firm, and they had this idea, we're going to have a Halloween party. Instead of a Christmas or holiday party, we're going to have a Halloween party. So everyone thought, oh, that's kind of fun. The first hint we knew something was amiss was we were not allowed to bring our spouses or partners. Okay, that's fine. So we dressed in costume. And we went to the party, and it was a fine little party, 2 hours at this hotel. And then at the end of the party, the partner gets up and says, now, I want you to know, you didn't really get this time off. I want everyone to go back, and you have to work for an extra 2 hours tonight to make up for the time you were here at the party. So not only people dress as Han Solo and Chewbacca, you know, go back to work and write their briefs. So that's how not to do it.
Oh,
you know?
My goodness.
So, but here's how you can do it. I mean, if you're a retail shop, obviously it's easy. You put out some orange and black decorations and, you know, serve some hot chocolate or something like that. But, you know, offices can do the same thing. Some decorations, encouraging customers, or not customers, but employees to dress up on Halloween day or Halloween week. Gets everyone in the spirit, creates a good culture, creates a fun culture. People appreciate that it's not always about work, but that it's about fun, too. So I think those kind of things make a difference.
We're speaking with Steve Strauss, small business columnist at USA Today. He's also author of a book called The Small Business Bible, and he's written a piece about how businesses should embrace Halloween. I thought another thing was, too, that was interesting is that you can't really dismiss it or even avoid it because it seems like more people are participating than ever these days with Halloween.
It's just amazing. I won't speak for you, Gordon, but when I was young, you know, Halloween was this kid holiday. Like it was, I mean, it's still a kid holiday, theoretically, but increasingly, it's become an adult holiday. I mean, I saw some stats, for example, like since 2009, spending on Halloween by adults has doubled. It's more than $9 billion with a B dollars a year spent by adults on Halloween costumes mostly, but also beverages and also, you know, candy for the kids.
All right, big bucks. Thanks, Steve. Steve Strauss, small business columnist for USA Today. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. FMLA, FLSA, ACA, EEOC. It's harder than ever for businesses to keep up with today's evolving alphabet soup of regulations. What's a company to do? Kronos. With Kronos, you can minimize compliance risk and track HR policies, making sure they are applied consistently and fairly. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/compliance. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday, October 10. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Hurricane Michael targets the Gulf Coast. UN Ambassador Nikki Haley stepping down. New rules expected today that could change the number of green cards issued. U.S. News says the number one place to retire is Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Taylor Swift won Artist of the Year at the American Music Awards. No baseball the next 2 days since no division series went five games. And the newborn about to complete a trip to all 50 states. That story in about 20 minutes. The Gulf Coast is bracing for Hurricane Michael, which has developed into a Category 4 storm as it targets landfall today. Hundreds of thousands in the Florida Panhandle and Big Bend area have been told to evacuate. The Alabama coast also paying close attention as it shares a border with the Florida Panhandle. That's where we find Sean Sullivan, morning show host at FM Talk 106.5, WAVH Radio in Mobile, one of our affiliates. Morning, Sean. What are the conditions right now?
Here at home in Mobile, not bad. Gusty. We've had some gusts, 20 to maybe a little over 20 miles an hour, maybe 25, and a few showers. But we are on the western side of what is now a very, very big hurricane, Michael. And the western side, for people who don't watch this, is the, if there is a thing, is the good side, right? So the northeast quadrant of any hurricane or its impact area, that's the worst side to be on. And the northwest side, if there is a good side, that is the better one. In other words, the winds fall off more quickly. You have less issue with storm surge. And it's just the drier side as well of a storm. So we're actually on that side where so many people have come out of the Florida Panhandle to be as close as they can to their homes but still be safe. We have seen a day's worth, a whole 24 hours, of a massive shift of people from the Florida Panhandle into southwest Alabama.
Wow. Do you have the ability to accommodate all those folks?
I think we're full now, but we'll still figure out areas like Baldwin County, which is one of the two counties that make up our metro area around Mobile Bay. They have opened up their Coliseum in Baldwin County to take evacuees. And in Mobile, I know that I got a report this morning. We're getting pretty close to full on hotels here in Mobile County, but people probably at that point, if we do fill up in our area, Mobile and Baldwin counties, people will probably continue to go west to the Mississippi coast.
Even though at this point it doesn't look like Mobile is going to take a direct hit, you do kind of have unique topography, right? Because that Mobile Bay, kind of, it's like a little inlet off of the Gulf Coast. Does that pose particular flooding problems?
No, it can, yeah. A big inlet, for sure, Mobile Bay. And, it, you know, it's shaped like so many bays where it's widest towards the southern end of it. Then it necks down as it comes up towards where the Mobile River comes into the bay and where Mobile is. And that could give you an issue with surge. But once again, lucky for us, being on the west side, our wind issue is going to be really out the north today. So it's areas to the east of the storm that will get that onshore flow. We saw, Gordon, we saw more of the onshore flow yesterday as Michael was still further out in the Gulf, and we saw water levels 3 to 4 feet above normal yesterday. And today I have a feeling that it will be lower because the storm is now going to be swinging winds from the north towards us. But, you know, it's eerie being here because waking up this morning, went to bed last night, this was a Category 3, which is still a very significant hurricane. Waking up to a Category 4, and the wind speeds are very much like a Category 4 that hit Mobile back in 1979, Hurricane Frederick, that absolutely leveled big areas of Mobile and Baldwin counties, especially Mobile County, when I talk about what it did on the coast and the trees down. That's what I worry about on the Panhandle storm surge right now, obviously a threat to life. But also, there has not been a significant hurricane in that area with the Florida Panhandle and long enough that the trees are not what they call wind firm. And I'm scared what we're going to see there for damages of trees down, further inland trees on houses, those issues.
Mm. We're speaking live this morning with Sean Sullivan, morning show host at FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, Alabama, one of our affiliates. You're like a junior meteorologist now, the way you talk about this stuff. You ever get tired, though, of like kind of living under the hurricane or tornado threat in that area?
But, yeah. I don't know. I mean, do you get tired of snowstorms, you know, in the Northeast or in the... It's just part of life. Yeah, sure. I mean, we don't like it, and it sets, when it hits you, when it's your time, it sets you back, it sets your life back, but it's also, you know, part of the cost of living in a beautiful place here on the Northern Gulf Coast. So, I don't know, you take it with the good, you know, you just take it that part of life.
Yeah. If Florida residents want to evacuate to your home, are you giving out your address or cell phone number or anything like that?
We are. I'm going to run a little video with my children and my dogs and how they acted last night. And if those evacuees still want to come stay at my house, hey, y'all are welcome.
Very good. Stay safe. Thanks for a few minutes, as always. Good talking to you. Sean Sullivan from FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, Alabama. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me directly on Twitter with the username @GordonDeal. Mike Gavin, who is to my right, can be followed on Twitter with the username @RadioGavin1.
Now accepting new followers.
Ah, very nice. Nice pitch.
Always accepting new followers.
Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we've heard quite a bit in recent years about airline passengers bringing animals with them on flights for emotional support, so much so that some airlines have had to put their foot down and say no to turning the coach cabin into a zoo. The latest comes from Orlando, where a woman had to be escorted off of a flight bound for Cleveland last night after refusing to part with her emotional support squirrel. Frontier Airlines says that the passenger had noted in her reservation that she was bringing in an emotional support animal with her, but it was not indicated that it was a squirrel. Frontier says that rodents, including squirrels, are not allowed on its flights. The airline said when she refused, Orlando police were called and requested everyone be deplaned so they could deal with the passenger. The flight was rescheduled for later that evening.
Mm. Gotta be careful with Frontier because they only fly like once every 9 days or something. So
That is true.
If your flight gets delayed, I mean...
Maybe she was confused because they also have a lot of animals. Frontier's the one that has animals on its wings. They have each plane has a different animal on it. And look, we don't want to minimize, you know, obviously people have a lot of anxieties about flying and they feel that bringing an animal with them can help alleviate those anxieties. But I could not think of an animal that would more likely or less likely calm my anxieties than a squirrel.
Right.
How is a squirrel going to calm anybody's anxieties at all? It's just going to, you know, run around and cause havoc.
I think back in the day, if this were to happen, we would have broken out our emotional support squirrel traps, perhaps an emotional support BB gun.
Right.
I think some of my friends would have went that route back in the day.
And Gordon, is it delivery or DiGiorno, or could it be both? A viral video showing a shopping cart full of DiGiorno frozen pizzas at a Little Caesars location led many to believe that the chain was serving DiGiorno, but Little Caesars says that's not the case. According to USA Today, when a company spokesperson told them that Little Caesars investigated, they found the video was shot at an Indiana Kmart. Kmart was apparently in the process of disposing of expired DiGiorno pizzas when the video was shot. A manager had directed an employee to temporarily store the pizzas in a cooler next to the Little Caesars location, which is located inside the Kmart store. The store had learned the pizzas were expired close to closing time and planned to dispose of them in the morning. Both Little Caesars and DiGiorno's Twitter accounts have bantered about the video, which has been viewed nearly 4.5 million times, with some snarky Twitter users, including model Chrissy Teigen, saying that they'd actually prefer a frozen DiGiorno pizza to Little Caesars' brand of fast food pizza.
Oh, I guess I'm going to have to do a search for Chrissy Teigen this morning, I guess, right? To research this story further.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, as the New Jersey pizza snob, I have to say, you know, the DiGiorno frozen pizza actually, you know, not necessarily a bad thing. And I probably would agree with Chrissy Teigen on that. I wouldn't mind that as a substitute for the Little Caesars pizza myself.
You have access to real pizza in New Jersey.
Well, I say I'm probably not going to go for either one of them.
Yeah, could you just repeat what you said? You have access to real pizza.
Right.
And DiGiorno's.
Right.
Frozen pizza.
Right.
Would be an option for you.
Well, again, an option instead of sort of the fast food type pizza like this. Yes. If I'm at home and, you know, and I can't leave the house or I don't want to order out, that kind of thing. Yes. Or if I'm looking for a cheaper night, perhaps.
I thought I knew you. 13 minutes now in front of the hour.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation. It's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Thanks for joining us. Here's a shocker. Somebody's found another way to make a buck from marketing flu concerns. With flu season coming and some parents taking extreme measures to protect their kids, here come signs attached to car seats telling others to keep their grubby paws to themselves, basically. Fox News says the latest parenting trend is making a spark on websites like Etsy. Some signs say, please don't touch, and please look. Don't touch. Other signs are a bit more direct with the message, stop, no touching, your germs are too big for me. The placards come in a variety of colors and different messages, depending on how forward the parent wants the message to be. Other sites like Amazon are also selling the signs. They cost from $7 to $12. While a person can get the flu all year around in the U.S., the CDC says the virus is most common in the fall and winter. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends a child should be given the flu shot when they're 6 months of age or older. The group also recommends a canopy or cover for a child's stroller. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
We're to Michael Rohrer down. The Florida Panhandle strengthening into a Category 4 hurricane early today before it crashes against the region's beaches, fishing villages, and coastal communities later in the day. Around midday, it's expected to become one of the Panhandle's worst hurricanes in memory, with heavy rainfall expected along the northeastern Gulf Coast and life-threatening storm surge of up to 13 feet. Florida Governor Rick Scott.
This is not a slow-moving storm. This is a fast-moving storm. The rain's going to come quick. We're going to have flooding.
Some 375,000 people up and down the Gulf Coast have been urged or ordered to evacuate. At least five people were confirmed dead and several are missing after torrential rainstorms caused flash flooding on the Spanish island of Mallorca. At least three towns have closed schools and hundreds of people are being sheltered in sports facilities. We may finally be nearing the end of the road for a retail icon. The Wall Street Journal says Sears has hired advisors to help it prepare for a possible bankruptcy that could come as early as this week. Sears has been losing money and closing stores for years, in part because of an e-commerce boom. The company in May got a small boost in its share price on news that it was partnering with Amazon to provide auto services to Amazon customers at Sears locations. Despite that, the outlook for Sears has been dismal. The company is staring down a $134 million debt payment due next week. Taylor Swift kicked off her week with a rare political post on social media, and at the American Music Awards, she continued the conversation by encouraging fans to vote in the upcoming midterm elections. Swift won four honors, including Artist of the Year.
Every single award given out tonight were voted on by the people, and you know what else is voted on by the people? Is the midterm elections on November 6th. Get out and vote. I love you guys.
Swift beat out Drake, Ed Sheeran, Imagine Dragons, and Post Malone for the top prize. She made history by becoming the most decorated woman in the show's history with a total of 23 AMAs.
That is impressive. By the way, Post Malone, who's fairly popular in my
house
right now, has a Snapchat filter, which is pretty funny because he's got tattoos like on his forehead and around his face.
And you
can put them like on yourself through the Snapchat filter.
And you do this.
I do not do this.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. There's no evidence. Stop. You can't prove that. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. So a five-month-old baby is poised to become the youngest person to visit all 50 states when she and her parents complete their cross-country adventure. UPI says Cindy Lim and Tristan Yates of Australia have been taking their daughter Harper, who was born in Canada, on a tour of all 50 states that began in June, scheduled to be completed next week in Vermont, the last state on their list. The parents said they'd been to 19 states themselves in their goal of joining the All 50 States Club, but decided to start over when Harper was born so the girl could become the club's youngest member. Who has the money to do this, by the way? Ms. Lim told ABC's Good Morning America that the highlight of the trip is being able to make memories as a family on the road and Harper checking off milestones all over the country. Really? Because at 5 months old, I suspect she'll have zero memories of this trip. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.